Gospel according to St. John, the 8th chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. Jesus said to the Jews who had believed in him, "If you continue in my word, you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free." They answered him, "We are descendants of Abraham and have never been slaves to anyone. What do you mean by saying you will be made free?" Jesus answered them, "Very truly I tell you, everyone who commits sin is a slave to sin. The slave does not have a permanent place in the household. The son has a place there forever. So if the son makes you free, you will be free indeed." The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. You may be seated. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. The truth will make you free. This gospel verse really stood out for me this morning, so much so I decided to Google it on the internet. It turns out there are 199,000 web pages containing this exact phrase, "The truth will make you free." It has become a kind of an abstract saying, one that's so well known, many people who know nothing about the Bible have heard it and find some kind of meaning in it and wonder who said it. "The truth will make you free," said Jesus. We often connect it with confessing the truth after lying to others or lying to ourselves. And when the weight of the lie is lifted off of our shoulders, we are made free. It's no wonder our brief order of confession and forgiveness at the start of our worship service includes our absolution. And it's such a valuable part of our Lutheran liturgy. Being truthful with God in our prayer of confession, followed by receiving the great gift of the forgiveness of sins, and it is a great way to start off the worship service. Real truth can be hard to come by in our world. We want to regard true things to be reliable, genuine, and trustworthy. So what kind of truth is Jesus getting at in our Gospel reading from the 8th chapter of John? Well, Professor Matt Skinner of Luther's Seminary writes, "The truth referred to here is not a philosophical idea, nor something that is opposite of a lie. Instead, truth is the knowledge of God as revealed in the person of Jesus Christ. Knowing this truth is knowing God, God made present in Jesus." And in our final verse in today's gospel reading, Jesus even substitutes the Son for the truth. "So if the Son makes you free, you will be free indeed." The Son of God who makes the people free. Indeed, as Son and truth, Jesus himself is the very revelation of God. Later in the 14th chapter of John, Jesus will say, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." Jesus said these words to his disciples when he was with them face to face on the night before he died. In the world we live in, we have come to understand many truths to be debatable. Because people are captive to sin, we often shade the truth to our own advantage. When we doubt the truth of an internet posting by a stranger, we can go to Snopes.com to verify whether it's true or not, because we want the truth, right? We thank God for the blessings of trustworthy people in our lives, people of integrity who we've come to know through our experiences with them, people with whom we've spent time, people whose word we can trust. By the 8th chapter of John's Gospel, the disciples have come to trust Jesus, the Word of God, after having dwelled with him for 3 years. Back when Jesus first met his disciples, we notice how he didn't present himself as a self-evident truth. He just told them to follow him. And today he still doesn't expect 21st century disciples and his hearers to grasp the fullness of his claim to be the truth all at once. He also doesn't expect us to try and verify whether his claim to be the truth is valid through some kind of logic or a Google search. The disciples of Jesus have come to know him to be the truth as they abided with him and remained connected to him and his word. Our personal experiences with Jesus and our community experiences with Jesus are the key. Jesus tells us remaining connected to him or dwelling in him and his message is the true measure of discipleship. It's what separates people who are really free from those who only follow Jesus for a short time and then drift away. Discipleship is the path to truth and freedom. And by the way, today's gospel lesson will not be the last time in John's gospel when Jesus talks of dwelling in him. In chapter 15, verse 5, Jesus says, "I'm the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him, he is it that bears much fruit, for apart from me you can do nothing." Well, it was 8 days ago I was blessed to abide with a skilled team of medical professionals at the Augusta University Medical Center, NICU. I was visiting our five-day-old granddaughter, Vera, after she was taken off the ECMO unit following 3 days of successful treatment. I was not familiar with ECMO, that's E-C-M-O. It's an acronym for extracorporeal membrane oxygenation. I had to practice that. In this process, which was developed back in the 1980s, blood is pumped outside of your body into a heart-lung machine that removes carbon dioxide and sends oxygen-filled blood back to the tissues in the body. Blood flows from the right side of the heart to the membrane oxygenator in the heart-lung machine, and then it's warmed and sent back to the body. This method allows the blood to bypass the heart and lungs, allowing these organs to rest and to heal. And here is the truth. When Vera was 13 hours old, the brilliant medical staff at Richland Hospital in Columbia knew that without ECMO, our little Vera was not going to make it. Now, they've got the machine, but didn't currently have the specialist to operate it. Therefore, at 10 a.m. on Wednesday, Vera was baptized in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. And during the baptism, the medical staff never stopped doing what they needed to prepare Vera for a trip to Augusta, where an experienced medical team using ECMO was available to receive Vera and to save her life. The truth is, we didn't expect her to live, let alone to do as well as she has done, especially since on Wednesday of last week, we heard the truth about all the risks associated with ECMO. It was not a sure thing. We put our trust in the God, of course, that he provided the surgeons, the nurses, and technicians at the hospital in Augusta to do their best, some of whom have over 30 years of experience with ECMO. How fortunate. Well, I was reminded last week at our South Carolina Synod convocation of hymn number 617 in the ELW. It's entitled, "We Come to You for Healing, Lord." Verse 3 addresses the Lord with these words, "You touch us through physician's skills, through nurses' gifts of care, and through the love of faithful friends who lift our lives in prayer." Well, one of the nurse technicians named Carmen smiled when I asked her about her vocation. She said, "I love it. And I get to see miracles all the time." We give thanks to people like Carmen who answer God's call into the ministry of healing. Well, today on this Reformation Sunday, we remember the life and impact of Martin Luther on the Christian faith. Luther emphasized the gift of vocation. We have a God who calls people into vocation so that as members of the body of Christ, they can represent Christ to people who are in need of God's presence and healing. In the case of Vera Langston, there were at least two people by her side who were focused on her healing during that time, those 3 days that she was receiving ECMO. What a great analogy to having the presence of God in our lives. Jesus never leaves our side during the various trials of life. Our sins are forgiven as we receive the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ through his body and blood. This ultimate and awesome reality of Christ abiding with us does not keep us from the ups and the downs of our life journey. Rather, it strengthens us to know Christ is with us and carries us safely through and beyond those ups and downs. Martin Luther defined God's grace as God's love and pardon freely bestowed upon an undeserving humanity. It reinforced Luther's belief in the scripture promises of Christ's presence, even in the darkest hours of his loneliness and isolation. Luther noted that an open Bible resembles a manger. The Bible holds the Christ child and reveals Christ to us. Christ is also revealed to us in the faces of our fellow brothers and sisters in Christ. Today, as we gather face to face with one another on this Reformation Sunday, we are given hope and nourishment from God's word and from the presence of Christ in the sacraments of holy baptism and holy communion. Through these means of grace, we come to know in our heart of hearts, Jesus not only frees us, but never abandons us. Through God's grace, we discover the certainty of God's love and the truth that matters the most. And for that, we give God thanks. Amen.